Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Andre, there's a new Rivian in town, except it looks like the old Rivian. It is the new 2025 Rivian R1T and R1S SUV, second generation. But you're right, it looks mostly the same as before.
And in this podcast slash video podcast, we're going to talk about and show you everything that's new with it, including how much horsepower it has, surprising a lot. And what's different from the old one. But more importantly, next to me is my favorite truck guy in the world, Andre.
That's me.
So we're going to talk about it like it's a truck for a truck guy.
Well, it is a pickup truck because it has a bed, right? Yeah. R1T has a bed.
But let's face it, Andre, like electric pickups have this notion that they're not for truck guys and gals, that they're for adventure lifestyle people.
Which is primarily what this is for. But I still want to take my perspective, right? Or our perspective, and take it and look at it as a pickup truck buyer.
Right. Well, let's start with the numbers. So you were in Seattle.
Yes.
Where you got hands-on, and there's a bunch of videos out that you can go watch at all TFL. So you got to drag race it. You got to tow with it?
No.
No. Okay, never mind.
See, and that's a hint.
Okay.
There was no towing involved in this first event. Mm. So this gives you one clue, right? Because it wasn't focused really on towing. It was focused a lot on design, power, you know, range, all those things.
Sounds like stuff cars are focused on.
Yes.
All right. Tell me about what's new. I'm looking at the picture of it somewhere on a beach.
And yeah. We were not on the beach. So in Seattle, we were not there. By the way, we're going to tell you a lot of the specs. Then I'm going to take you into a showroom. Mm. It's because the part of the event was inside a Rivian store, basically, in Seattle or near Seattle. And, I, you know, they laid out all the components on tables, the new motors, new batteries, new interior components, new design for the interface, all that stuff. I can show you details, and then we can see how it compares.
All right. Well, tell me what's new. Stop keeping me in suspense.
Headlamps.
They look the same.
Okay, if you look very, very closely, Roman, okay? If you look very closely.
They're still cartoonish.
The bottom of the main bar, the horizontal bar, is different. And now it can give you, in green, okay, it can give you state of charge in 10% increments. So when you're charging the thing, it will blink.
So it goes across, and the further across it gets, the more charged it is?
Yeah, and in little 10% in little segments.
So everybody in the world will know how much you're...
So they can unplug you. No, you can't really unplug you.
So that's kind of like giving a peek under the hood of a truck, which I don't know. I don't know if I want people to know how much charge my truck has. I guess it doesn't really matter. What I do see that's different are the wheels.
Yeah, this was a big deal. So they redesigned... First of all, they have two new tire options, which is really cool. We can discuss that. They have new wheel options. What you're looking at here, if you're watching this, this is what they're called the next-gen Aero wheel. Mm. It's a 22-inch wheel. And this one, if I can see this properly, I believe this is a quad motor. I'll tell you how to tell.
How can you tell?
It's by the Rivian badge. If it's backed by a turquoise color, bluish color, that means it's a quad motor. A truck or SUV, if it's backed by a yellow color, it means it's a new tri-motor. And I think a simple badge means dual motor.
Oh, my God. That's way too much insider information, right? For me. Yeah. Holy cow.
It's like you need to be a Rivianista.
Look, here's what I'm afraid of, Andre.
Hey, podcast listeners and TFL Talk viewers. I wanted to take a minute to talk to you about a quick and simple way to sell your car or truck with the help of our new partner, HiRoad. With HiRoad's online portal, you enter your vehicle's VIN number or plate, mileage, and zip code, and you'll get competing offers from several qualified dealers in your area within seconds. You pick the best deal offered and follow through with the dealer to sell your vehicle. No more managing scammy emails from buyers on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. No more time wasted on no-show buyers. No bait and switch with a "will you take a check" excuse from sketchy buyers. Now keep in mind, these offers will be for trade-in values of your vehicle. If you want to go through the hassle of getting more for your vehicle, that's up to you. But if you want to sell your vehicle hassle-free and fast, go to tfltruck.com and click Sell Your Truck in the navigation menu. Or click on the HiRoad ad at the bottom of the website if you're on mobile, or click on the column if you're on a desktop. HiRoad makes it easy, and we like easy.
So you've got this truck that's basically what we would call a mid-cycle refresh, but they didn't give it a different face. They didn't give it different taillights. They didn't give it anything that identifies it from, like, let's say 10 feet away or from your neighbor's point of view that it's a new and improved Rivian. And that's always a problem. And this is what Tesla has been doing forever, right? They just kind of slowly roll out changes, which are significant, but you can't tell they're significant. And I think the reason car companies do mid-cycle refreshes is because it sells cars and trucks. And I'm worried that this is not going to, like, move the needle in terms of sales, because I would be like, okay, I get it's different, but how can I tell?
Exactly. Well, I agree with you, but I want to offer one more thought here. Is during this event, you know, this is supposed to be a 2025 model, which is coming, you know, online right now, but they never spoke about model year. They never said 2025 or 2024 or anything like that. And also Tesla doesn't do this, right? Yeah. They usually don't talk about, oh, we have a 23 or 24 or 25 model. And I think it's because a lot of it has to do with software, right? Tomorrow, they can download an update into this truck and it will change some feature or change significantly. And it seems like this is the new way of doing business.
Yeah, so I think it's I'm going to say it, Andre, a stupid way of doing business. Because when you think of the most infamous or famous hardware/software company in the world, it's got to be what? Apple, right?
I think so. It's probably the most prominent software company.
And Apple significantly changes the design of their computers on a regular basis, right? We use a lot of their computers, and we had these like giant big screen computers where everything was, you know, inside the computer. Now when we use the newest ones, they're just little boxes. They look like little, you know, tissue boxes. And this is a very significant change, because how else do you know that it's new? And I get this idea that, well, we incremental improvements. But when I was a young lad, my dad bought a Cadillac because he got kind of successful in the restaurant business. And every year they would invite us, and I've told this story before, so if I'm boring you, please fast forward.
Okay.
Every year they would invite us to a party at the Cadillac dealership that featured prime rib. It was really good, actually. Really good.
Ooh,
prime
nice.
Rib. And
wow,
champagne.
Wow.
And they had these new Cadillacs that were covered up every year, and then they would unveil them, and you'd be like, ooh, it's got bigger fins, or it's got smaller fins, or
different, you know, grills.
Different grills, or more chrome or less chrome. But they were significantly different from the older ones. So you were like, yeah, I need that one and not that one.
So it's like you're talking about status symbol. Like,
I'm talking about
and really obvious, making it obvious.
Yeah, and I get that software companies, you want to do incremental changes and there's significant, you know, things that it does. But from, you know, your neighbor's point of view, it looks the same. So what's different on the inside? How do they make it better?
By the way, there's a new color. Do you like this red, sunburnt, orange, red?
Yeah.
Red?
Yeah. Even Porsche, who just came out with a mid, you know, and they also did a lot of
992.2, right?
Yeah, they also did a lot. I'm just talking about them because that was the biggest news this week. But they also did, you know, significant exterior changes, so you can, you know,
but but one, for me,
but that's one
it looks similar.
Yeah, but the 911 is the least of the changey ones.
Yes,
but yet still, you know, it does change. Like if you were to go the other way, and I know we're talking about trucks here, but Hyundai and Kia are like off the hook when it comes to actually completely.
When the new model comes out, holy moly.
Have you seen the new Santa Fe?
Yes.
I mean, if you put it up against the old
I don't want to see it.
Well, fair.
Well, okay.
But if you put it up against the new one and the old one, you wouldn't recognize that they're the same car. And I think that's a smarter way of selling cars. But, you know, hey, who am I to judge?
But I can flip it the other way.
Yeah.
Right? If a vehicle is super successful and sells millions, you don't want to change it too much, right? Well, Rivian is not selling millions of cars yet.
No, they're struggling.
There's still, you know, there's kind of a startup company, right, that's coming online and, you know, they're building.
Actually, they're more than struggling. They just downsized, right? They just put off the expansion that they had on in Georgia. And so now they're saying they're moving production of the new vehicles to their normal Illinois plant.
But they're still going to follow up in Georgia. So don't make the Georgian people scared.
And I think it's smart because, you know, they need to save their pennies because according to published reports, they're losing money in every car they build. So I'm hoping that in this new version of the R1T and the R1S, they've simplified the engineering, made it easier to build, made it cheaper to build, and hopefully...
You're in luck. All those things happened.
Okay, so tell me about the horsepower.
Yeah, so first of all, now three power options, right? Mm-hmm. There used to be a quad motor originally when it came out in 2021. Then they added the dual motor. Now they have both of those choices with updated motors. I'll talk about that in a second. Plus a new tri-motor setup. Basically, in the tri-motor, you get the two rear motor unit from a quad motor and the front single motor.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Kind of like a Hummer EV truck, right? So kind of a similar thought process, but different power levels.
So in typical truck language, it would be like the Ford has a Coyote, the 2.7, the 3.5, right?
And then the Raptors.
And then the Raptor. Right? So that would be an analogy.
Like a supercharged V8. So listen to these numbers.
Okay, listening.
So there's two versions of the dual motor, and I don't remember every number off the top of my head, but plenty of power, between like 500 and 600 horsepower, right, in this dual motor. There's a standard one and there's a performance one. Then you step up to a tri-motor, 850 horsepower now. So their new tri-motor system is more powerful than their old quad motor system.
Fair,
And wait for it. The new quad motor, 1,025 horsepower.
So I take 0 to 60s and quarter mile times have become dangerously fast?
Yeah. So during this event, the Rivian team had us journalists come out to a local drag strip. I believe it was in Kent, Washington. And we laid down some times. So if you want to see more details about it, but they state 2.5 seconds 0 to 60 in the quad motor, the new one, and 10.5 second quarter mile time. Last time I checked, this is faster than the Cybertruck Cyberbeast. And it's quicker.
Faster than a Hellcat.
It's quicker than most Hellcats.
It's faster than a Demon that's not been modified. Well, a Demon does 9.6, so not quite as fast as a Demon. But on a prepared track, you know, the difference is pretty minuscule any given day.
So there's probably some exotic cars and like Lucid.
Mind blown, Andre. Mind blown.
Yes.
But
go ahead. I'm also mind blown.
Because
they're chasing – I don't know why. Why do you think they're chasing high horsepower numbers and 2 seconds 0 to 60s? why?
AJ.
RJ.
I never met you, so I apologize, RJ. RJ, why are you building supercars and not trucks? That's my question. I guess you're expanding your customer base into a world of car buyers, but even a car buyer doesn't need to go from 0 to 60 in under 5 seconds, let alone in, you know,
under three seconds.
I just feel, and I'm sounding like the fuddy-duddy old man here, but it's worked. I mean, trucks are tools. How much is a tow? How much is it haul? So, how does it work as a truck? Not how fast does it go down the drag strip? That's my question.
They've kept the payload mostly the same. It's around 1,700 pounds.
Which is good.
Yeah, which is good. For a smaller vehicle. I mean, this vehicle, the Rivian R1T, is a little bit larger than the Tacoma and a little bit smaller than the F-150, right? So mm-hmm. it's kind of this mid-sizer type truck. Towing is still the same, 11,000 pounds in the truck, 7,000 pounds in the R1S SUV. So they didn't touch those numbers. But we never got to tow. You see what I'm saying? So towing wasn't part of this first experience. I'm sure we can get one of these trucks or SUVs here in Colorado, and we can do more testing with it.
And I'm here kind of playing the devil's advocate, hopefully on behalf of our viewers, because I think these are questions that they would be asking themselves. Now, so how about interior?
Yeah.
Any differences in the interior? Any differences in the bed?
Yes. No, not in the bed.
Okay.
Let me show you an interior photo. So here's the whole thing about Rivian. I look at it as first of all, it's a premium brand. The pricing starts at $69,900 for the most basic dual motor R1T.
That probably has 600 horsepower.
Just under that. Yeah. So.
Look, don't get me wrong. I like horsepower. I just don't. I guess it's easy to get a lot of horsepower out of a battery. So, in a way, that's kind of the low-lying fruit.
Yeah. And so the motors are different now. So they didn't just give more juice to the old motors. They have a new cooling system. They're calling it oil spray, basically better for heat dissipation. It's supposed to be better for off-roading. I took a dual motor R1T on this course that Rivian chose.
AllTFL.com.
And I was pretty impressed with the dual motor. It uses not locking differentials, but brake distribution, right? And that's not my favorite, and I know that's not your favorite, but it worked really well. It got me through some challenging terrain.
All right, here's the question I think we're all waiting for. Have they increased the range? Because electric vehicles are about, like real estate, range.
Location. Yes.
Like, what are the range?
So for the maximum packs, so they have several versions of those battery sizes. By the way, they don't list kilowatt hours. You know, GM doesn't do that. Rivian doesn't quite do that.
Yeah, Tesla doesn't quite do that.
And I think it's because they're always kind of tweaking and changing how much energy they can squeeze out.
Is it like Rolls-Royce? It's adequate?
It's adequate. Maximum range is 420.
Oh, that's a big number.
Yes. So Rivian says it's class leading, but I don't know how they define class. Because as we know, Chevy Silverado EV has 440 or 450 miles of range.
Yeah, so Cybertruck's 320. Hummer EV is right around there.
330.
Yeah, extended range Lightning's also in that 325 range.
But the Silverado EV
is
way higher.
But maybe they're saying Silverado EV is full size, which it is, and this is some kind of tweener size.
Yeah.
So maybe.
So I don't know how they define.
So maybe in its class, it is. It is classic.
You know, many manufacturers do this. When they define their class, like Ford always says, we're the best at this. And Chevy says, we're the best.
How about towing?
Stays the same.
Okay.
11,000.
Which is a lot.
Which is a lot for a vehicle like this.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And remember, last year I did another iGauntlet with a Rivian R1T, the previous iteration of it. And it have really good towing apps.
Yeah.
You know, you plug in the cable into the port. The truck immediately knows. Then you put it in drive, you move, and it estimates the weight of your trailer for you. That's really good stuff. I mean, it's really, really useful technology. But look at the interior.
Looks the same.
Premium, the same.
Yeah.
Same screens. They have different color combination. New plaid. Do you see the plaid floor mats?
I can kind of make them out, yeah.
Okay. New plaid.
Oh, I see them.
Right there.
On the screen. For those of you who are listening to this, basically... there's a company called Cocoa Mats, and they do these kind of premium mats which are woven. That has a kind of a very similar feel to it.
Yeah. And I think their design studio, their design department, does a really, really great job.
Yeah, it looks, you know what? It looks like a lot of what used to be FCA. I got a lot of like like FCA vibes when I look at Rivian.
Yeah, for sure. Now,
oh, look at the wood.
Look at the wood on this one. And the new graphics. So they redesigned the feeling of the digital interface. So it now has that kind of illustrated cartoony feel.
Mm-hmm.
So everything just kind of looks either hand-drawn or somehow, you know.
You know, I was listening to the guys over at Everyday Driver.
Yes.
And one of them is a former designer. Mm-hmm. And I think it's Paul, but it could be Todd. Sorry.
Todd and Paul.
I got you messed up. Sorry. But he was saying that there's not like a square, non-round surface in the vehicle, and it gives it a very friendly kind of almost cartoonish, almost like happy-go-lucky design language. And I absolutely agree, and I think it's not the right language for a truck.
Yes, but I think if you're building a brand.
It's too feminine. I know that sounds sexist, but it's, you know, women are curvy.
Okay.
I think it should be more square.
Chiseled and squarish.
Yeah,
and,
because there's always that rule, and I keep saying this, but it's true. If you make a vehicle more feminine, women aren't going to buy it. Men certainly aren't going to buy it. But if you make a vehicle more masculine, in other words, kind of rough around the edges, more hard nose, hard chin, square shoulder, that kind of thing, both men and women tend to buy it. And I'm not trying to be sexist. It is what it is. And this thing almost comes across. It's just, and maybe that's the thing. I can't somehow connect to this truck, Andre. I connect better to the R1S than the R1T, but I can't connect to the truck somehow. And that's me personally.
From a truck perspective, not what if you took the truck topic out of the question? Would you feel good sitting in an interior like this? Just.
I would. I don't mind sitting in that. The interior is beautiful. Don't get me wrong. I'm looking at this beautiful wood, very elegantly designed. I think that works as a premium SUV or crossover. But when I get in a truck, I want it to be a tool. I want it to be utilitarian, mm-hmm. right? I don't want my screwdriver to be made of like
velvet,
recaptured Amazon teak, right? That's not what I want my screwdriver. I want my screwdriver just to work. And the problem I have with this is it becomes too, like, almost over-designed. Does that make sense? And I understand that it's more of an adventure truck, and I'm coming more, and you know, more. And this podcast is really about a truck guy's perspective on the truck. And to me, the truck is just not trucky enough. So let me do this. Let's actually, you put up together a really great video where you did a walk around and you showed all the new bits and pieces. You kind of showed.
And under the skin.
Yeah, you showed, because they had this great, like, exploded version of the truck where they had batteries and motors. And so.
All laid out on tables and new cameras, everything.
So let's cut to that for all of you who are, you know, either own a Rivian or want to own a Rivian so you can exactly see what. But before we do that,
thank you for our Patreon supporters. Patreon.com/TFLCar. I want to thank specifically Frank Roach III, Marvin Dickerson, Sauron Tank, Michael St. Jean. So thank you. In the last couple of weeks, those are the latest supporters we have. We publish sometimes early look videos. So some of the kind of the most produced videos, you know, longer form stuff, something more involved, we published on Patreon first before we publish it publicly.
All right. So thank you guys, and let's cut to the video of the walk through. He really did kind of walk through the truck, and then come back and we'll talk about the competition.
Do you guys see this? Rivian calls it the second generation of the R1, R1T and R1S all electric trucks and SUVs. I call it a very heavy facelift, which means it may look very similar to what it is now, but they threw the kitchen sink at it. They really redesigned it in many different ways. So in this video, I wanted to show you kind of what's going on behind the skin, underneath. And I'm here at a Rivian, they call this a space, but it's really like a store for customers to come in and explore vehicles and perhaps even buy them if they want to. But what you see right here in front of you is, well, first of all, it's a new wheel. It's a 22-inch new aero wheel, and here's another view of it right here. And by the way, this cover is removable. You can kind of take it up here and remove it all the way around or leave it on. They have several different tire options. Oh, thanks for showing that. Right there, you see it right there. So you can kind of see it without. I think it's a really cool design.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Still, of course, 5-lug hubs, just like the Rivian trucks used to have. And this is, of course, what it looks like with it on. I don't know which one I like best. I think I kind of like it covered up like this. I think it has a kind of a sinister look. Really quickly, the lights are different. Slightly different lights. And it also has the status light on the bottom. But like I told you, I want to show you behind the skin. And they have new powertrains, a new battery. And these vehicles, the R1T second gen and the R1S SUV, will be available for sale starting June 6th. So you can order them and start purchasing them. So as you can see here, there's an event going on. So you can kind of snake through here. Here's a look at the second gen R1S and their latest interior. Let me change the perspective a little bit so you can see it a little bit better. They also redesigned the wireless charger pad so your phone stays really put and doesn't move around. They redesigned the UI, the graphics, the interior combinations. This is a new quad motor. They're gonna have a dual motor. They're gonna have a tri-motor system. The quad motor, the new one, has this new graphic, and also the gear guard dude, the Yeti, his hair is supposed to be moving back a little bit. That's a little sign that it has over 1,000 horsepower. 1,025 horsepower for the new quad motor. You heard that correctly. 0 to 60, Rivian says, and I haven't confirmed this yet, is 2.5 seconds 0 to 60 in acceleration or under. Quarter mile in about 10 and a half seconds, which for a large vehicle, especially like a three row like this, I think it's pretty nuts. How did they do this? All right, so let me walk around and show you a little bit over here. The motors are new. So what you see right here is a new dual motor. They used to have the same configuration for the quad motor. So basically what you're seeing here is like the rear setup. So the rear axle would look like this, but this is fully redesigned. And really, really cool. So the motors are now oil cooled. So there's actual oil being sprayed inside the stator and the rotor. You can kind of see the cooling pack inside as well. Really, really cool design. And of course, raised power levels. So they didn't just send more current, more power to the existing motors to create the new systems. They redesigned the entire thing. So something like this would be in either the quad motor setup or the tri-motor setup right there. And it's fully integrated, fully designed and built by Rivian. I love this, that they're integrating this all together. This is what a single motor looks like. So this setup right here would be a tri-motor setup. Two motors in the rear, one in the front. And the new second-gen tri-motor system will basically have better performance than the current quad motor. About 850 horsepower for the tri-motor and performance 0 to 60 in under 3 seconds, according to Rivian. So that's pretty impressive. By the way, these red points is where drive shafts would connect to the wheels. Once again, there's a cooling stack, another drive shaft output right there. Now, Let's look at batteries. So Rivian, for the second gen, they did not adjust or change the architecture. So it's still a 400 volt architecture. So the charging speed is basically the same as before, but they're introducing a new battery, which will be a little bit more cost effective. LFP battery right there. You can see the LFP cell right here and how different it is from the cylindrical cells that they use in other batteries. This is the Gen 2 battery. You can see kind of double stacked right here. And these are individual cells. It's really rare. You usually don't see this type of detail and kind of in front of you laid out on the table like this. So I'm a huge fan of this. They also redesigned the battery enclosures and made it a little bit more flexible so they can make it a little bit more precisely, maybe remove a little bit more weight, and make it more serviceable. So you can see a little assembly right there kind of coming out. So it could be also easily serviceable and make it faster to service. So all benefits. Now, so this base battery will be available in the base R1T. Dual motor, it will have 270 miles of range for the base model, $69,900. So basically the price stays about the same as now for their base models, but their upper models, including tri-motor, quad motor that are coming a little bit later, the range is up to 420 miles. And that's because the motors are a little bit more efficient and they can have different configurations. For example, you can only use the front motor to propel you down the highway at constant speed. And of course, other weight savings that I'll tell you in a second. But 420 miles will be the maximum range that you will be able to have. And the base R1S will start at $75,900. They also updated their suspension system. Here you can see just one of the kind of the damper setups. It's hydraulic, adjustable. They have air suspension still, so still height adjustable suspension. They changed some of the spring rates, front to rear. Really wanted to make it more balanced. This is a huge deal. A heat pump is coming to the Rivian R1s. Here's just one look at the heat pump right here. So a heat pump is basically a way to cool off or warm up the cabin of an electric vehicle, and it's really a lot, provides a lot more efficiency when you do it this way. Here's another little thing. They now have electric door releases here. And by the way, when you put your hand here, it's very easy to reach. There's also a manual handle right here. So if you still want a manual way to open the door, you still have that. Or you just touch the electric pad and the door opens for you. That's pretty sweet. Now let me show you another huge advancement on this side. This on the floor here is one of the wiring harnesses they removed out of the R1. So how did they do this? Why did they remove wiring harnesses? Well, what you see on this side is generation one ECU family. So they used to have 17 different computing modules. You can see, I think most of them here. Wow, that's, I mean, I knew new vehicles have a lot of computing power and a lot of modules, but that's what it used to look like. They were able to shrink it down to seven. You see some of them here. And they removed 1.6 miles of copper, basically wire. This represents about, 40 or 45 pounds of copper. A lot of it, of course, in harnesses like that, that they removed out of the truck or SUV. So first of all, you don't have to install that anymore. So that's a little bit easier to produce. You have less weight, less cost, and a different architecture, a zonal architecture for them. This is pretty sweet. This is kind of a two-in-one. You see this cooling loop? This also has their autonomous driving hardware and computing power board on the bottom here and another controller on top, and they're both liquid cooled because they have a lot of processing power, upwards of 250 trillion operations per second, which is mind-boggling to say Also, check this out. The Rivian R1T, R1S used to have fuses like you used to in some of your other vehicles. Now it's fuseless, electronic fusing. Also, that means every pin is diagnosable. The truck may know exactly where the issue is, if there is some issue. So it could be more easily serviceable, quicker service, simpler service. So that's all is going to be possible with this new architecture. And that's how you also save weight, which for a pickup truck, that's really important because you could add either more features or more payload to the truck. Now, here's a little autonomous display. This is basically a model of the R1T, and it shows their new architecture. They now have 11 cameras and 5 radar sensors. So it's basically a system that fuses cameras and radars. You can see there's one radar on each corner. You can see it here, also in the back. And then there's a larger radar in the center, hidden somewhere in the front of the vehicle, probably behind one of the plastic body panels. And then these are basically sonar sensors for parking and new cameras. Now the mirror now has not one, not two, but 3 cameras on each side. There's also 3 cameras in the windscreen looking forward. Long range camera, a little bit wider view camera, and the redundancy cameras. They're using NVIDIA chips. So this right here, you can see right here, dual NVIDIA chips. This is how they do 250 trillion operations per second, or 250 TFLOPs. So that's what was being water-cooled where I showed it to you on that table right there. Here's what the rear looks like. Of course, radar and another camera here, another camera on the truck for the bed view, so you can see inside the bed. And they're introducing at launch a feature that basically assisted lane change. You can initiate it by clicking the blinker indicator inside the vehicle. And if the vehicle determines it's safe, using all the cameras, all the data it has, the cameras now have 8 times their resolution as far as megapixels are concerned, the vehicle will make the lane change for you. And yeah, so later on, they'll have hands-free driving. That's coming a little bit later as a software update to the vehicle, as they do have more testing and more features coming online. And yeah, so that's coming later. And all second-gen R1s, including the SUV and the truck, will have these sensors and this computing system and all the modules and the new electrical architecture and the new motors and all those options. So this is the second generation of this truck. I think it's quite impressive. As far as hands-free driving is concerned, of course, there's a lot of competition in this space as far as pickup trucks. And as you know me, TFL Truck that I represent, we're about using pickup trucks, and other manufacturers like General Motors, Ford, Ram now also have autonomous driving systems. I still believe that GM Super Cruise is the best. GM allows you to tow a trailer in hands-free mode, and the other manufacturers currently don't allow that. And we will have to wait and see about Rivian, how they're going to adjust or handle trailer towing in autonomous mode. They haven't announced anything at this time, but we'll have to wait and see. Now, let's look again at the quad motor. I think it's probably the most bonkers thing here. We don't have pricing on this yet. Now it has staggered tires, and this is a Michelin Pilot Sport S5. So in the rear here, and by the way, it has the RIV designator, so it's specifically a tire designed for Rivian. It's a 305 wide rear tire, and on a 22-inch wheel. And in the front, it's a 275. So it's a staggered fitment. And you can see these are summer tires, very, very sticky and really not meant for a lot of adverse weather or snow or off-roading, of course. if you want high performance, this is the tire you really, really want on your Rivian. And this is what enabling, that's what enables 2.5 second accelerations to 60 and 10.5 second quarter mile times. Yes, so new tires. The base model of the R1T, let me show you, I'm pretty excited by this. Let me show you this tire option. So here's once again, another look at this truck. It's this, it's the new 20-inch wheel. 20-inch wheel right here, all season. This is a Goodyear Wrangler Territory tire. And you can see this, especially designed for electric vehicles. You can see this little sign right here on the tire. So I've seen these tires on non-electric trucks and SUVs, specifically meant for off-roading. On my personal truck, I own a Chevy Colorado Trail Boss. I have a Goodyear Wrangler Territory MT, a tire that's a little bit more aggressive than this. This tire is still here. So if you do want the adventure pack with a quite more aggressive Scorpion tire, you have this option on a 20-inch wheel as well. But this is going to be the base setup. And I think the wheel is very attractive. And the tire, I mean, I've never driven on this electric version of the tire. And basically the difference is in the compound. The compound is meant to be a little bit more, well, first of all, the vehicle is a little bit heavier than a comparable vehicle of the same size. And that weight comes from the battery weight, of course. And also it's low resistance while rolling. So you can see a lot of these tires are specifically designed for low resistance, still plenty of capability, a lot of performance like this quad motor summer tire, but also affordability, because that's a big thing with Rivians. All of them are all-wheel drive in different motor configurations, and all of them are really meant for adventure, as you see here. All right, and then finally I can show, oh, they also have Dolby Atmos stereo system, and they're gonna integrate with Apple Music. Let me get in here. Let me get in here. So they changed many things, including fonts and graphics.
You just can't do it yourself.
So
it is weird.
And it's now more of a cartoon display, like almost animated display. So it's really, really cool. I can show you a little bit more. I think that in that truck they have the stereo system display. And then in this one, can I control this for a second?
Yeah, of course, go ahead.
Okay.
It sounds like you're,
I can get out of your way too if you want.
Oh, it's okay.
It sounds like you're giving me a new one.
So on the displays, there should be different accent lighting as well. So now, and there's a little sound effect too. Alpine Lake, let's see. Twilight Trail with some fireflies, Pacific sunset. And by the way, the surrounding lights are supposed to be changing too in the interior. It's hard to show that here. Sorry, let me go back. Canyon glow. I love the sound effects too. And you can see kind of the animated, kind of illustrated nature of this. So they're all curated themes for the interior. I think I went through all of them right now. Here, this also has a translucent panoramic roof. So sometimes it's opaque like this. And then when you touch here, it will actually go translucent and you can see through it. So that's one of the newer features as well. You can control all the other doors and mirrors over here as well. Now let me get to, this is Driver Plus. I was talking about autonomous driving. So there's a little bit, a section for this. Here's some other animations that I was telling you about. And in different modes, it'll be different. Here's the other page. This is a tri-motor system. So you see the rear two motors and the front motor, tire pressures, battery state. This vehicle is currently charging. Then you have your compass and your trip meters and a lot of other features here as well. Let me see if I can. Cameras. Once again, high resolution cameras throughout. Here you can see the bed or behind the truck, and you can see the bed right there. So this is just, I mean, this video is about 22 minutes, but it just shows you, this is the second gen R1T and R1S. This is, as you can kind of tell, a thorough, it's almost a new vehicle underneath. The body panels are mostly the same. Some of the items, like the camera that used to be here on the front fender, now moves way up here inside the mirror. But mostly the body panels are the same. So the truck or the SUV look approximately the same as before, but there's little details like this in the headlamp that's a little bit new. The blinker now moves from here down below. Of course, the charge port is still up front. So that's why I called it kind of like a heavy refresh, because the vehicle mostly looks the same on the exterior, but it's really, really changed underneath. And I'm really glad that they're simplifying, adding features, adding capabilities, and yeah, I think making it way cooler. So as we get more information, I'll be able to let you know more as far as pricing, availability, when the new quad motor comes. And they're adding huge amounts of performance to this truck. Towing remains about the same, about 11,000 pounds as before. Payload remains about the same. It's on this truck, it's almost 1,700 pounds right here. And this kind of, I believe this could be a pre-production truck, but they're going to be available for orders right now. So you don't have to wait a year or two or more for this. This is available now. Thanks for joining me. I'll see you next time. Hopefully you like this behind the scenes look. Oh, and here's another look at different badging, bright, dark. There's the quad motor symbol, gear guard dude, double G. Some of the other combinations of materials. Yep, thanks for joining me, and I'll see you next time.
All right, Andre, so let's talk about the competition. One of the major trucks that does compete directly against it, and there really is no truck that competes against it directly if you're using it by size, because there's no...
Even by spec, in a way.
Yeah, there's no tweener between the midsize and a full-size. Yeah. But let's say that you are talking about full-size trucks. I think you can't mention this without mentioning the Tesla, which to me, the Cybertruck is on the exact opposite side of the spectrum. If this thing
is
round and kind of happy-go-lucky and friendly, the Cybertruck is all, I'm going to cut you, I'm going to hurt you. It's like the guy in the prison who's going to...
Dystopian.
Who's going to shiv you when you're getting your lunch, right? This is what and it literally may do that. It actually did cut Nathan. He was bleeding the other day after we did our video with it. The Cybertruck doesn't have a round surface
except for the silly squarish steering wheel.
I mean, that square.
Yeah.
The little roller balls on the, and so it's the exact opposite. And I'm wondering, if that is now the way that the design taste and design language is going to go, because whether you like Tesla or not, they have set the standard for a lot of things that are electric, including design.
But I'm glad that Rivian is taking this other approach.
Fair.
I mean, if I look at some other electrified vehicles, not necessarily pickup trucks, but like Polestar, right? Volvo and Polestar, also kind of minimalist design, so like very simple, very kind of
clean. It looks like a startled clean cat.
This one?
Yeah.
Well, it's in water.
It looks like a cat that you just stuck in water that's not happy about it. I just, I want to like it. I really want to like it, but
really,
yeah. Okay. Maybe I would have like if for me, maybe I would have turned those headlights. So look, it's a mid-cycle.
It's got
refresh.
Vertical oval headlamps, basically.
It's a mid-cycle refresh, and you know you don't have usually the money unless you're Hyundai and Kia for some reason to rejigger the entire
completely
factory.
Rejigger it.
But to stick a new face on it, you can do. That's what most do. Maybe if you had taken those lights and gone from vertical to horizontal, I don't know, but done something just to signify that it's different. I'm beating this horse to death, but I just feel like before the Cybertruck, this was the cool kid on the block. Now it's like so yesterday.
Okay.
And that's and I know people hate the way the Cybertruck looks, but it is like nothing else on the street.
It is completely true.
And I'm talking only about design here, guys. I'm not talking about performance. Design. I'm not talking about utility. I'm just talking about pure design.
And by the way, like you said, mid-cycle refresh. They wanted to simplify. They did. So like I showed in my walkthrough, right, the electrical system is simpler. The fewer parts, right, less heavy parts on the inside.
Did they go to 800 volt?
No. I think...
I'm just asking the hard questions.
I don't know why. I asked them. I said, did you step up your voltage system? And it's still 400 volts. They did not go 800 or 900. I believe they're saving that for like R2, you know, their smaller SUV that they're building. But the vertical headlamps
are the design.
Is the design of the entire company. If you change it, maybe they can change it a couple of years later.
Hyundai Kia do it.
But Hyundai and Kia has been in our country for 30 years, right? So they've established some sort of already presence. Rivian's been around for 3 years or so.
Oh, longer.
Selling vehicles, yeah. 2021.
I would say 10 years old now, the company.
I spoke to Max, and he said he's employee number 3.
Yeah.
And he said 15 years.
Yeah, 15 years. They started in Florida, I believe.
Right? I know, but nobody knew about them.
True that. So, like, let's say they had their coming out party at the LA Auto Show before COVID.
Yes.
Which would have been like 2020 or something.
Yeah.
So 4 years. Yeah, you're right. In the public.
So I don't think they're established enough. I think they do have their
Who's
own
Max,
presence.
By the way.
Max was, I don't know all of his titles, but he was my test pilot. He took me for a fun ride.
He's employee number 3?
Yes.
Ooh, you got to be.
He's a great driver. He was going, he was in a Seattle countryside forest going sideways at 50 miles an hour in the Tri-Motor R1S. He's good.
The other issue that we're seeing right now, especially with electric trucks, is that it's such a competitive field, right? I don't know if you can kind of any longer just do what used to work, because there are so many new electric vehicles coming out at such a breakneck speed that whatever was hot today is going to be tamale tomorrow. I had a bad joke, sorry, bad dad joke. But what's going to be hot today is going to age very quickly.
Yeah, you have to establish yourself. You have to do something different.
I hate to say this because I hate it, but you have to do something that's very like social media friendly, right? You need to set TikTok on fire.
Well, maybe that's the 2.5 seconds 0-60. Do you think that's what they were thinking? They said, did Rivian say, you know, let's go after that? Oh, by the way, about tires.
I mean, they have that tunnel, which is cool. Right,
the gear tunnel. They have some unique tricks up their sleeve.
They do, yeah.
Yeah. So if you look at the specs, the Cybertruck is currently available as a dual motor, right? Yep. 600 horsepower ish.
Or a tri-motor, Cyber Beast.
Yeah, but that's not really accessible. You know, we just saw a guy outside, you know, when we were driving our Cybertruck, and he's still waiting for his.
Yeah, he didn't want to pay $100,000.
No, he didn't want the foundation series.
I think there's a lot of people in that boat.
So you can't get a tri-motor yet, but tri-motor specs are out. And if you look on paper, spec for spec, and I want to do a drag race still, Rivian quad motor is currently, the second gen quad motor is winning in quarter mile speed, 0-60 speed, and range, 420 miles of range.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, Chevy, you were just on this program as well.
Yes.
Just brought out the Silverado RST, which has this mid-gate trick up its sleeve.
Yes, it does.
Right? It's like the old Avalanche where you can, the row in between the second row and the bed comes down, There you go. You're showing the cool little
the tunnel, the Rivian gear tunnel.
And the Silverado, that wall comes down, and you can put much more into the bed of the truck, or have some fresh air come in, or have your dog come back and forth between the bed if you want.
Or for camping,
it's good.
That.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't take my RST camping, by the way.
All right. So I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to ask you some hard questions because I think this is what these podcasts are for. We're not going to sugarcoat stuff. You've got $100,000. $100,000. Would you buy a Lightning, a Rivian, a Cybertruck, or a Silverado?
I see.
Okay. And good, I'm not giving you a use case. I'm just saying.
Just money.
Yeah. And I gave you a lot of money because I know this is, we're taking the money. What I'm trying to do is take the money equation out of it. So, you're TFL managing editor, and I just give you $100,000 as a bonus, and you're going to go buy a truck. And it's not for the channel. It's for you personally. And, whatever money you don't spend, you can put in accessories, right? You can't keep it. So we're going to take that out of that so you could get more accessories. So which of the four would you get? Am I forgetting an electric truck? Lightning, the major ones.
Well, you didn't say Hummer, but I think it's a little bit outside.
It's 119.
So yeah, it's a little bit outside of this budget. I'm going to go F-150 Lightning.
Okay. Yeah. Why?
Here's why.
It's bigger.
So I looked at this R1T.
Yeah.
I drove it for a day, right? I drove almost every version of it. Pretty fortunate during this event. I still don't like the fact that they have a 4.5-foot bed.
It's a small bed.
So, yes, you can expand it. So, right, you can put down a tailgate on the Rivian and makes it, almost 7 feet. But once again, now you need to tie something down, right? You can't really capture all your cargo this way. So, for example, my son's bicycle. I know there's hitch-mounted accessories, but I like a bigger bed than 4.5 feet. So, even though I like Rivian design, I really appreciate their design aesthetic, and I think their just culture that they have of kind of adventure, I can't do a Rivian right now. Silverado, okay, be it work truck or RST. RST is, by the way, $96,000, right? One of the top tri-motor new Rivians is $99,000, so they're very similar, right? Mm-hmm. I don't like the design of the Silverado.
You don't like the
bulbous front end?
It kind of looks unibody-ish.
Yeah, and the Rivian is a unibody too. That doesn't bother me
but it looks
too
like
greatly.
It, yeah.
I really appreciate that Chevy does long range, like 440 or 450 miles. They really have that expendable bed, right? The mid-gate. I love all those features. But I didn't like driving the RST. It had some torque steer, some weird, under hard acceleration, it had this weird sensation that it was kind of moving side to side. The ride on the 24s was kind of harsh.
Yeah, you're talking about not 24 vehicle. Or you're
24-inch wheels on the RST.
Let me make that clear, yeah.
There were kind of harsh riding. I didn't quite enjoy that.
You get the 22s.
Yeah, you could decrease the size or do whatever. But I'm just not in love with the design. Partially for me, not just the functionality has to be there, but aesthetics also have to be there.
Okay. And the Cybertruck?
Cybertruck. Oof. The bed is weird, right? The angled bed and... I have to climb into the bed every time I need to reach something in the front of the bed. There is no step. I mean,
and you can't get at stuff in the back of the bed because there's a long kind of sloping side.
Sloping side. I don't like that feature of it. I like a lot of other features of the Cybertruck. Even the looks are growing on me when I see it. But the steering, I can kind of get used to the steering.
Right. Let's do
F-150.
Let's do kind of a use case thing so people understand. Okay. I'm going to say, I'll just give you categories and then we'll pick what truck. I think towing Silverado. It's got the range. If you want a cross-country trip it, it's got the range.
And also Super Cruise.
And it's also got Super Cruise.
So, which is one of the best systems that I've ever experienced.
Yeah, so for that part of the truck experience, definitely I would go with the Silverado. Now, if I want an adventure vehicle, I would definitely go with the Rivian.
100%.
Yeah.
It's got accessories. It's got roof racks, bed racks.
If I want to go on the weekend, go camping.
Compressors.
Yeah.
Built-in compressor.
Yeah, exactly. All that stuff. No doubt, Rivian. Now, if I wanted, and this may sound strange to a lot of people, but if I wanted to go off-road, I would definitely go with the Cybertruck.
What? You really like that?
Yeah, it's the best by far off-road compared to the other. So first of all, the Ford, only rear locker, not enough ground clearance. I don't like the way, and I haven't driven the dual motor.
Rivian,
but I don't like the way that the all-wheel drive works in the quad motor on the Rivian. The Silverado just won't go off-road.
Well, there's no Trail Boss or any other version of the Silverado.
And the Cybertruck, as much as you might dislike the fact that, you know, it's a weird design, it does have over 16 inches of ground clearance, and it's which is, you know, boom, I mean, that's just crazy. Right now we're talking crazy numbers. And with the dual motor, you get standard locker front and rear, so you basically get all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive all the time. And the tri-motor doesn't even do that, the Cyberbeast.
Mm-hmm.
So I think actually off-roading, there's something brutal about that thing, and it feels Mad Max-y, and yet probably that's the one I would take.
And by the way, the weight of the Cybertruck dual motor is very competitive. It's a little bit less weight than the Rivian. It's a lot less than the Silverado. Silverado weighs 9,000 pounds. And also the Ford, like you said, not enough clearance.
Yeah, and if I wanted all-rounder, I'd go with the F-150 because Ford, right out of the box, built a really good electric truck. It just rides better than a regular F-150.
It's quicker than the regular F-150.
And it's quieter. It's super comfortable. And so that's how I would break it down if I were picking a truck.
I would agree. But at the end of the day, I like the traditional nature of the F-150 Lightning all around. Like you said, it may not – well, now you can also use the supercharging network, right?
Ford
you can get adapters.
Ford and Rivian are the two that are going to be the – Well, Ford's already got adapters, and
Rivian is switching to adapters.
North American Charging Standard or Tesla Standard.
And GM is too, but they're a little bit farther behind. I think, on that. So, I don't know. I know you're saying Rivian design is a little bit roundy and happy. I like it. I identify with it. You know, it reminds me a little bit of Range Rover as well, as far as its kind of aesthetics and interior quality and materials. So it reminds me a little bit
of SpongeBob.
SpongeBob SquarePants? Wow.
I'm not wrong, Andre. You have to admit, I'm not wrong. It's a little cartoony.
I like that.
Okay, yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, but you're right. Yeah, the interior is definitely Range Rover-y. There's a sense of serenity and a sense of like, you spent a lot, but you got a lot. Well, there you have it, guys. If you want to see the videos that Andre did actually driving... what's this little guy? That's your Yeti dude, right? Speaking of cartoon.
I learned something.
Yeah.
So the sentry mode, not sentry mode, but the gear guard mode.
Yeah, which is sentry mode in the Rivian world.
In the Rivian world. His name is Gary.
Oh, hi.
Gary the gear guard.
It is SpongeBob.
Yes. And he looks after your security of your truck.
Is RJ that gen? He must be like that. Is he a little older than?
He's like my age.
Is he? So
maybe younger than me.
Yeah, so he may not be SpongeBob generation. That's like millennials.
I don't know what cartoons RJ likes. Yeah. But
what do you like, RJ? Let us know.
Please write
in the comments below.
But that's Gary. Yeah. I learned his name. I just thought his name was Gear Guard.
We're looking at the little, he's a little like Sasquatch. Yellow Sasquatch with a headband and a camera in front of his eyes.
And a little jacket.
Yeah.
And
poofy jacket.
By the way, I like this feature in the Rivian and the Teslas where, you know, basically the sentry mode, where if somebody comes up to you or if some accident happens.
It's always recording all cameras.
It's always recording all cameras and you can come back to it and review it or delete it. For example, we had recently an incident with one of the loan vehicles at the office.
Yeah, somebody vandalized one of our vehicles. That was no bueno.
But that vehicle was never recording.
Yeah, whereas the Cybertruck would have.
Cybertruck would have recorded, and the Rivian would have recorded everything.
Now, can you? I saw that there was a picture of Gary on the tailgate. Why is Gary on the tailgate?
So if you're in the know, Roman.
Okay, and now we're going to put you in the know. This is you heard it here first. Breaking news, you're in the know.
If you see Gary on the tailgate,
yeah,
that means you have the highest performance quad motor
system.
So you know what people will do?
They'll take Gary.
They'll buy Gary
and stick it on.
And stick it on every Rivian they see.
It's like that prancing moose that people put on their Volvos.
It's also like the Plaid symbol on the Tesla.
Yeah.
You know, the Plaid symbol means it's the highest performance Tesla. But now you see regular Teslas driving around with that symbol.
And the Prancing Moose is not a manufacturer thing. It's a it's a play on Ferrari's Dancing Horse.
Prancing horse,
but Volvo it's a moose. Swedish, so it's a moose, so Prancing Moose. Yeah, yes. People put on there. I see the you find one with the Gary on the tailgate.
No, you have to see my video.
Okay,
the one I just showed.
Yeah, speaking of videos, what have we put up? What did you do with them? Because we've got videos at all TFL that actually are more than two guys handboning and about the truck.
So I took them off road.
By the way, it's a really good looking green.
Really good looking green.
I've been jonesing for a green vehicle, and you know, I just got a press release from IC Cars. And what's sad is that our color palette in America just keeps getting smaller and smaller.
Oh, my God.
So white, number one color by far, followed by, I think, gray, followed by black. Yeah.
It's a sad world if everything is gray and white.
I think that's because dealers order them because, you know, they don't want to order this color because they're afraid they won't sell it.
It's not a problem with Rivian's, Roman. No. Rivians have many colors you can choose from.
Yeah. Porsche does, all the kind of boutique manufacturers.
So
what are the videos?
Off-road.
Yeah.
So my question there was, is it better than before?
Okay, and?
Okay, I think it is. I think the motors...
nice.
Stall speed, so I'm going to get a little bit
nerdy. Leave it for the video. This time I'm going to say leave it for the video.
It's usually it's, like... You want to
get nerdy?
Well, they changed the motors, right?
Okay, get nerdy. Go for it.
The motors are now have better cooling, and I tried to stall it, right? So you're basically climbing a hill, and you stop. Right, going as slowly as possible. And that electric vehicles don't like that, as we've learned, right? We've tested a Hummer this way, didn't like it. That's the previous Rivian, it didn't like it. I guess Cybertruck kind of likes it now.
Yep.
Because of the locking differential, maybe.
But usually they need to have a little torque going through the motor.
Yeah, this kind of the stall speed of the engine, of the motor, I'm sorry,
It needs to be spinning.
Yeah, it needs to be moving. So they saw, or at least improved it. They improved it quite a bit. Then I also did a drag racing experience because they brought us to a drag strip and we spent, 2 or 3 hours there as the whole group. And I went the quickest in a pickup truck I've ever gone.
Yeah, well, dude, I mean, remember when we did the video here in Colorado where Rivian Dad brought the quad motor. We put it up against a Raptor R.
Everything.
It just killed it.
Yeah, well, it killed the Hummer EV because Hummer EV has low limiter, limiter on the top speed. Yeah. It killed the Hummer EV. It killed
119, I believe, was the top.
Anyways, which is too
fast for a pickup truck. over 100.
I went 130 miles in the quarter mile at 10.7.
Wow, they're chasing like Rimac speeds.
Yes, or Lucid speeds.
Yeah.
Anyways, so that's my second video, but I also experienced their version of. Kind of not quite hands-free yet. They're not quite ready for hands-free, but kind of driver assistance technologies that the new ones that they are offering. And I didn't like it.
Didn't jive, huh?
No. So it feels like the Rivian, when it's driving with the system enabled, it's kind of fighting you a little bit.
Mm.
You know, I want to adjust a little bit in my lane as I'm driving using the system, and it cancels the system instantly.
Yeah, I had that.
And then... You have to steer again.
So I went out to Seattle as well. We were both there, and I was driving the new Ford Mustang Mach-E Rally.
Uh-huh.
But before that, they let me drive the new GT Mach-E.
Okay.
And they said, try the new Blue Cruise. It's much improved. And so we got on a Seattle highway, and I set it to drive by itself, and the first exit that it reached, guess what it did?
It took the exit?
Took the exit.
Did you want it to take the exit?
No, I didn't want it to take the exit. I had navigation going.
Okay.
Took the exit. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe that was a fluke. So, took the wheel, reset, Blue Cruise, next exit, took the exit.
Again took the exit?
Yeah. It's just hard. This is not easy. This is hard software. I was watching a show about like autonomy, and they were talking about the fact that if you have, let's say, if you're driving and you have, I think they mentioned like a seagull, but let's say it's a duck, right? And you have a duck or some kind of a bird by the side of the road.
Okay.
If it's a computer, it not only has to recognize that it's a bird, but it has to know what a bird does.
So like or when, the intentions of that creature?
Or a potential bird. So, a bird is very different from a ballard. So it's got to know that it's true. That the bird, while it can pose a slight danger because it can fly into the front, chances are it'll fly away or it won't hurt the truck. So it's got to actually recognize what a bird is, but more importantly, it's got to recognize what a bird does. And how do you define, like, the example they use, I think this was a NOAA special, is they had, like, a guy walking across the street, and he was, like, I think he was a Sikh, you know, how they wear that headdress? Mm-hmm. And then, like the truck didn't know what the headdress was or the vehicle.
So it couldn't really identify this person or as a person or something?
Yeah. Like, and, like, messed with it because most people don't have these big, like, headdresses. And so you got to program all that. And then you got to have a computer that crunches all that. And so that's just hard.
They use NVIDIA chips inside Rivian.
Yes, which apparently Musk recently sent to X versus Tesla. That's the biggest news story of this week. Mm. Go figure. Why he fired an entire supercharger team? I don't know why he's sending chips to X, which is just becoming apparently now the place for pornography. I don't understand.
Yeah.
I do not get. But I would rather, if I were a Tesla shareholder, and I'm not giving stock advice, I would rather have those chips, I assume, go to Tesla and not...
And actually do some work...
And not to X.
With or vehicles.
Or, you know...
I agree, Roman. I think
Twitter.
I think, you know, we're human beings, and human beings are best at image recognition.
Yes.
We are so powerful. I mean, you could have... They talked about the number of computations per second. 250 trillion operations per second this new Rivian can do while driving.
Yeah, I know what that means.
But it's not the same as this.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot of knowledge and a lot of recognition and very fast, relatively speaking, image recognition.
Yeah, that's so. like after the computer overlords, when you know, all the Silicon Valley, too smart for their own good, venture capitalists and tech bros, you know, invent the computer that will take over the world, which it will, because that's what I fear, then the computer will have us driving taxis because we'll still be better at driving.
Yeah, the computer will decide, Roman and Andre, you're going to be driving a taxi.
Yeah, because humans are surprisingly good at driving.
We're not good at many other things.
Hey, so computer overlords, me and Andre will raise our hands if you need truck drivers.
Yes. We'll drive your trucks for you.
We'll drive your trucks for you. We'll be happy to do that. We're very good at that. I think yes. On that note.
Okay, let's close.
Yeah, we'll say head on over to AllTFL if you want to see those two videos. Thank you for joining us. If you've noticed, we've put up a new midweek video. What truck should I buy? And we'll be doing more of those next week. So we're trying to kind of help people buy trucks. I think it's fair to say that, Andre, you have driven every truck
that's currently made or has been made in the last 10 years.
Yeah, and so we want to kind of tap into your brain and hopefully give you guys some great advice. And in the first episode, nobody asked you that. I think there was one truck buying question.
That's okay. We'll have more.
So if you haven't watched it, it's a video on our talk channel, which is on the live. Because we do it live, because we're getting comments, or it's on our podcast, wherever podcasts are given away for free. And we shall see you guys next time.
Thank you.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.